Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. What a wonderful Christmas season we've had. I mean, was that not a great Christmas Eve service? I mean, with all the choirs and the candles and the wonderful oranges, Don Solo, Ave Maria, and the wonderful people who braved the fog to come out and worship God. That was beautiful. And all the church, I kind of hate to see Christmas season end because it looks so beautiful. And appreciate, and today, what a way to start 2020 in our church, the first worship service, with that beginning, with the sharing and the miracles of God's healing and insights into God's word. I mean, it's a joy to start today together. And I could say Happy New Year belatedly, but the church is always ahead of the world. We started New Year the first Sunday in Advent, so we're ahead of the world. I was wondering, did you make any New Year's resolutions? You know, I looked on the computer. I'm trying to get better at the computer this year. And they had like the top 10 resolutions people made. I'll start with 10 and work my way to 1. The 10th is get organized. 9, help others. The 8th resolution, learn something new. 7, get out of debt. 6, quit drinking, except for Shirley. I want you to drink a lot. 5, enjoy life more. Enjoy the present moment. 4, quit smoking. 3, lose weight. Right, John? Okay. 2, exercise more. And guess what's number one? What's number one? The number one resolution people made. You have any guesses?
Pray more.
Huh?
Pray more?
Pray more? Well, you're getting to mine. But spend more time with family and friends. Spend more time with the relationships that really count. These are great, but I think Pat gave a good segue into one I wanted to add. Here at St. Paul's, one that doesn't appear on this list. To praise part of it, but to grow more as disciples of Christ. To grow more intentionally, to do what we do here, but also out there, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you read the book of Acts, all the wonderful things that are happening through the Holy Spirit, but what they were always doing, it wasn't in the name of St. Paul, wasn't in the name of Barnabas, you read the book of Acts, it's always in the name of Jesus. And that's what scared the authorities, that's what scared the rulers. And because in the name of Jesus, we just heard in our gospel reading that we have the fullness in him of grace upon grace upon grace. So that means to be a disciple. What's the old song from Godspell? To see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. And what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who looks at somebody else as their ideal and follows them. A disciple is somebody that's a student and learning from a master teacher how to live, how to be, how to die. So as Christians, we learn from Jesus. We want to think like Jesus, to feel like Jesus, to see like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to pray like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to do everything we do in the name of Jesus Christ, the best name under heaven. Because nothing was made, as we heard in our gospel reading, except through him. Through him all things were made. That means that even if people don't know it, they're made through Jesus. They don't know, but they're not saying they're Christians, but they're anonymous Christians because they weren't made except through Jesus. At least that's what John tells us. Being a disciple means that we come to church to be fed through the word of God through Jesus, to receive the body and blood of Jesus, to be on the mission in the world to let our light shine like Jesus, to die to ourselves and reach out to others like Jesus, to accept other people like Jesus does, to pray like Jesus does, and to say like, pray like Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. That's a discipline. So to grow as disciples means that we are more and more like Jesus, hopefully even more so than last year. Now, as Lutherans, we know that's not easy because we are both sinner and saint. I remember when my son Luke, many years ago, when we were making our resolutions, and he said, Daddy, what's your resolution? I said, you know, I want to be more like Jesus. He said, Daddy, for you, that's going to be very tough, very tough. But here's the thing, out of the mouth of babes, here's the thing. Well, being a disciple means that we follow Jesus. It also means that we know the presence of Jesus with us, loving us, pursuing us, caring for us, above us, to the side of us, behind us, with us, in us, loving us. We are saved by his grace. Being a disciple means our master, our savior, our Lord loves us. That's your identity. And freely forgives us when we make mistakes, when we make blunders, when we fall. He picks us up and will never, ever, 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 ever give up on us. Never. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to inspire us to grow and be like him. In other words, discipleship is a matter of following Jesus, knowing Jesus with us that loves us as we are. He loves you for who you are, but he loves you too much to leave you as you are. And there's growing pains in that. This way of discipleship is reflected in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians that Joan read today in our second reading. As we look at the book of Ephesians, we see that the first three chapters of Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, talk to us about, St. Paul tells us, our identity in Christ based on what God has already done for us in his grace. So do you want to know who you are, Dara? You want to know who you are, Alexa? You want to know who you are, Jim? Okay, this is who St. Paul says you are. You are, you are, we all are. Chosen, adopted, you're blessed, you're enriched, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Every one of you, this is who we are in Christ. This is our identity. First three chapters of Ephesians. Then chapter 4 through 6 of Ephesians, St. Paul tells us that how we are to respond, to focus on our response to this good news. How we are to live our lives now that this is our basic identity based on who we are in Christ. I know at times we have our doubts, but remember Jesus? And when he was baptized, God said who he was. You are my beloved son in whom I take delight. But anytime we hear this good news, there's other energies. Remember Jesus in the wilderness? If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. There's always that energy against. That's why we need to be together, to be enriched with one another, to pray with one another, to receive the sacrament and hear the word together, to be strengthened in who our identity is, because there's other energies, many energies, that will try to draw us away from this, to cast doubt on it, to make us despair and give up. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. It's a royal calling that we have been called to. The word worthy in Greek literally means balanced. Balanced, like if you have a scale and you have a balance here and a balance here, to keep it balanced. In other words, Paul says that our being in Christ and our doing in Christ need to be balanced, must reflect what we believe. That's why the monks in the early church, they always talked about ora et labora. Labora meant labor, ora, prayer. Prayer and work need to be balanced. Sabbath activity need to be balanced in our lives. From the womb to the tomb. From Gracie, where'd you go? Grace to Clara Miller and Gene Bemick in her 90s. You know, this love needs to be known by us. We need to grow in this faith day by day. And as we do at Center, there's a ripple effect. Whether we say anything or not, we kind of glow with that kind of love. From St. Paul's to North Park to Cranberry, it goes out, that love of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, his disciples, not to hide our light under a bushel. Let your light shine. And we can do it through good deeds of love and also through our words. We need both our words and our actions. We have the tools to do this here. We have each other to pray for. We have the worship service. We have taking the faith home in the back, the daily readings from the Bible. We have those little booklets that say Lutheran view of grace, Lutheran's view of forgiveness, Lutheran's view of the Bible, Lutheran's view of Jesus. It's all back there to study. We have our cross light at night. People come past and they see that light and say, wow, that is so wonderful. Our carol, when people go past and hear hymns being played during the day. What a witness we have. And all that food we got for the people at Christmas time, and Larry taking it over to the Northside Common Ministries, right? That's where he went, right? Yeah, I mean, this is letting our light shine. And then being a disciple means this isn't a race, okay? It doesn't happen once. And sometimes we'll make mistakes, but God's there to forgive us. But it's an ongoing, day by day, reading the word, praying the word, acting on the word, risking in Jesus' name, going out in Jesus' name, acting as if Jesus were present because he is. That takes time, and it takes time to follow. And this isn't a spiritual report card. We're not here to get an A in spirituality or an F in discipleship. You know, I'll let you in on a secret. Of course, I don't think you it's a big secret. I've been a pastor. This year I'll be going 41 years. And I'm still a baby in Christ, learning every day. You know, I'm still have so much to learn and grow. And I'm only starting. Each of us is valuable to the Lord, each one of us. But don't deny your light. Don't deny who you are. Live it. Live it in 2020. You'd love more than you know, and God has us where we're at for a purpose. What should I do? What should I be? You're in your place. Be who you are. Grow in your situation in Christ, in our church, in our home, at our work, at our play. In the name of Jesus, do that. What matters is what we are all on the way with Jesus. So discipleship, it takes time. It takes time and nurture. And also, it takes effort. Look at the effort that God loves us. He went to the cross. He suffered on the cross for our salvation. And it's a free gift, but it's a gift that took effort. And so us growing in the faith also takes effort. Now, I know some Lutherans will get very nervous about that. Well, works, righteousness, and all that stuff. Well, no, your salvation is a gift from God in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. But how we respond to it, how we live our discipleship, how we act in kindness, how we hold our tongues when we're angry. You know, this is all takes effort to live out our God's life. You know, a farmer will admit he growth of his crops is a mystery. You know, a doctor will admit, you know, I bet you Karen or Larry will admit that healing is a mystery. They say that God does it. Okay. However, if a farmer doesn't labor and fertilize and work at the garden, what happens? The weeds grow up, will choke everything. Yeah, and if my doctor got her or his degree online and wants to operate on me, I'm going to be a little nervous. Okay, I want that person to be at the best medical school, reading the best journals, having the best people around them, because they set the environment. The farmer sets the environment for growth. The doctor sets the environment for God's healing to take place. In the same way, God's Spirit ultimately creates spiritual growth in our lives. We don't control the spiritual growth. However, we can set the environment. We can spend quiet time and pick up that Bible and pick up that devotion and make that phone call and visit that hospital and act in Jesus' name. I love the parable of the sower. He goes out there and he kind of throws that seed around, and some's on good ground, some's on bad. He doesn't worry about it. It says the sower, the seed would sprout and grow, and he doesn't know how. God does it. We realize that we don't know how this growth happens. Instead, we do what we can and trust the rest to God's grace. As Martin Luther once said, pray as if everything depends on God. Work as if everything depends on you. Do what you do with excellence. Do the best you can. Don't give up. But knowing that the fruits and the growth and the healing come from God. So let's make this New Year's resolution in 2020. Let's pray to God to commit ourselves to do everything we do in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that when we fall and fail and forget, Jesus will love us and support us and give us the Spirit to do it again. Not the bad thing, the good thing. Let's trust deeply that Jesus is loving and being with us as we follow him. And let's trust that we can do all things in his name, and to intentionally, in his name, do all things, knowing that we can graciously do what we can, and what we can't, God can do. So that's what I pray is your New Year's resolution as St. Paul's, and you're doing it so well, but even to grow in that, knowing that you are loved, you are chosen, and to do what we do intentionally, consciously, committedly, in the name of Jesus Christ in 2020. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.